Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So it's finally back. Something in sports is finally back, but is it really back? We'll explain here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. You can always check the show out on the iHeartRadio app as well. And it's a Friday, so everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Everybody's excited. Everybody's fired up. It's a Friday. It's August. The summer is winding down. But we actually got ourselves something that we've been looking forward to for months. It's a Thursday night, and we get ourselves some football, some actual football. And what do you know? The Hall of Fame game actually delivered because the field wasn't melting this year. So congratulations to the people in Canton who have figured that out. I believe 2 years in a row now, they have gone without the field turning into a volcano in the middle of August. But we got ourselves a sneak peek at a future mess, all right? Now, I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson. Okay, we can get into Lamar Jackson at some point because he did not look good at all. Okay, so that's not the future mess that we're talking about. I'm not even talking about the debut of Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, who I believe 17% of NFL population can actually name the Bears head coach this year. So we're not even talking about that. He's already off. He's 0-1 in his career. It's a preseason game. We're not even getting into all that yet. We got ourselves a sneak peek at the brand spanking new NFL helmet rule. And it's going to be a disaster. This is going to be probably worse than the catch rule ever was at its peak. This is going to be an absolute disaster. I think if you watched that game last night and you saw some of the calls that were made, it's now making you question what the hell a legal hit is, what's not a legal hit. You are now questioning everything, much like the catch rule. Now, I like the idea behind the rule. I get it. It's about safety. You don't want what happened to Ryan Shazier to happen again. Nobody wants that. That was a frightening scene, seeing a guy's body go limp and him reaching for his spine because he knew something was wrong on national TV. Nobody wants that. It was terrible. So I get the idea behind it. I understand. Let's make the game safer. Way too many ex-players have had way too many issues that have been well-publicized and well-documented, so let's try and figure out a way to make the game safer. But at some point, don't you just kind of have to acknowledge what it is that you are? I mean, don't you? McDonald's, like 8-9 years ago, they had this thing called the Max Snack Wrap. I don't know if anybody remembers it. So they had this Max Snack Wrap thing, and it was like in a tortilla wrap. They had a couple of burgers in there, like burger patties. They had a piece of cheese. There was like a special sauce. They had some shredded lettuce in there, and it was called the Max Snack Wrap. The intentions were, it's not that unhealthy because it's not so much bread. So the intentions were, hey, you could have McDonald's and not feel like you're having way too much food or way too many calories or way too many carbs. But where did that thing go? It's been a while since I heard about the Max Snack Wrap. Whatever happened to that thing? Did you know that the unhealthier version of the Max Snack Wrap is actually called the Big Mac? Ever heard of it? Who hasn't had a Big Mac? You know that the Big Mac's celebrating its 50th anniversary right now? 50 years. They sold 1.3 billion of those Big Macs last year. How many Max Snack Wraps did they sell? You know, the healthier version of the Big Mac, the safer version of the Big Mac. Oh, that's right. Those were canceled in 2010. Those didn't last too long. McDonald's just accepted and embraced what the hell they were. We're not the healthiest thing in the world. If you eat one of our burgers, it's not the best thing for you. And maybe you don't look the greatest. And and our Big Mac is really, really filling, and it's got a lot of calories, and there's a lot of bread and a lot of carbs and some sugar in that bread and all of that. But yeah, we tried that safer version, and you guys didn't really respond, so we're kind of out of that game. We got out of that game in 2010. The NFL has gone above and beyond to make sure that the game is safer, quote unquote. The kickoff rule, whatever the hell that thing is, I have no idea what the official kickoff rule is. I'm trying to figure it out. It's been switched and moved around and changed and modified so much over the past several years. I don't know what the hell's happening. I really don't. It's to the point, and I've made the joke here on Fox Sports Radio before, that they're turning into that weirdo from that show, what was it, Office Space or whatever the hell that movie was, where the guy like wanted to quit his job, and so they wanted Milton, I think's the guy. He was looking for a stapler, and they moved him down to a lower level in the building, and then they kept piling stuff on his desk. They were basically just trying to phase him out without actually telling him, hey, man, there's no place for you here. Yeah, the reason you haven't gotten your checks is because we haven't been sending those, because you're basically fired. We just haven't had the heart to tell you. That's what they're turning the NFL kickoff rule into. They're just taking a little bit of it away and a little bit of it away and a little bit of it away until finally we just go, all right, just get rid of the whole thing. This is a waste of time. The NFL has gone above and beyond when it comes to protecting quarterbacks, whether it was the quarterback slide, whether it was going low on a quarterback, whether it was leading with the crown of your helmet on a quarterback. They've gone above and beyond to make sure quarterbacks can play this game a lot longer. I get it. I understand it. But they've gone way far above and beyond. The defenseless wide receiver catch. I understand. I get why they're doing it. I understand the idea behind it. It's safer. And now this new helmet rule. I get it. You don't want any more tragedies to happen. You don't want bad things to happen on the field. It's bad for the product. It's bad for the players. And it's bad for the people that are watching. I get all that. All of those mean well. But at some point, just accept the game that you are. It's a violent game. Played by people who embrace that kind of violence. They love the physicality of it. Some people can play that game. Some people can't. I played in high school. I was terrible. That's as far as I got. I couldn't play in college. There was no offer for me. There was no junior college. There was no NFL possibility. Physically, at that time, I didn't match up. I played it. I tried. I enjoyed it. I made great friends. I still have relationships and learned a lot from football from the time that I played. But it is a violent game that these guys want to play and sign up to play. And at this point, we should all know the risks. You either want to play it or you don't. You either understand the side effects or you don't. Like, the one thing about it, and this is where I think people get lost on this stuff. Well, you know, safety is everything. You know, we got to make sure that it's, well, not really. Awareness is everything. Okay, if you think about it, awareness is actually everything, because there are no guarantees. Safety doesn't mean a guarantee. Like, it's safe to drive the speed limit, right? It's safe to do that. But does that mean somebody's not going to be on the road hammered, or somebody's not going to be speeding next to you and they're going to cut you off? Like, you can play it safe all you want, but there are no guarantees. It's safe to not stare directly into a solar eclipse. But how the hell do you know some nut job next to you at the laundromat isn't going to throw bleach in your eyes 15 minutes later? Like, there are no guarantees. But you can be aware of it. And I think at this point, we are all aware of the risks that are involved with football. We all understand what could happen if you play this violent game. The same way we all sort of understand that if you take your bare fist and you punch a brick wall over and over and over again for 10 to 15 to 20 years, it's probably not going to feel good after a while. We should all be aware of the dangers of the NFL, every single one of them. This new helmet rule, the intentions are good, but it is way too over the top. And I think it is going to be a disaster on so many levels until they get it figured out. Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. You can get me on Twitter at the Jonas Knox. I will read insults on the air if they are funny. That's all we ask. The insults will come over the airwaves if they are at least funny. If you're not funny, they will not get read on the air. Sorry. Tough rules. John Ramos is here, everybody. Say hello to John Ramos here at Fox Sports Radio, our technical producer.
Hello, John Ramos.
Hello, John. Johnny, your thoughts on the helmet rule, huh? How about that? Boy, has this league changed.
Just one thing to say. I was talking this with Eric. I agree with you that it's their fault. I mean, not their fault, but it's you know what you're getting into. But I also think that, you know, they still have to kind of do their best to make it as safe as possible. That's all.
Early appearance from Fence Guy here on the show. On the fence is John Ramos here.
Back and forth, my friends.
Yeah, John will pick a lane, and then he'll pick another one here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So I do want to get to this story that I can't believe is actually a story in the world of sports. I wanted to get to it, but with the Urban Meyer statement that was just released, here's the one thing, and Steve, I'm looking at it right now. Steve DeSager with us here on Fox Sports Radio. The one thing I'll say about it is there's a section in here where he says, here's the truth. While at the University of Florida and now at the Ohio State, I have always followed proper protocol procedures. When I have learned of an incident involving a student athlete, coach, or member of our staff, by elevating the issues to the proper channels. And I did so regarding the Zach Smith incident in 2015. I take that responsibility very seriously, and any suggestion to the contrary is simply false. So that's a flat. He is saying 100% that he handled it the right way.
In 2015.
Yes. So, and there was an incident in 2009, which I think was already addressed. He knew about.
Ohio State.
Okay,
right.
Yeah. This is him saying that in 2015, I followed the proper protocol on this.
Mm-hmm.
So he is denying what is being alleged, that he didn't do anything about it. And I don't think, unless you have evidence, you would come out this strong in a statement while you're on administrative leave denying this. So he's got to have something to where he feels like he's in the clear.
And he also makes sure to close his statement with, hey, I'm the son of an amazing woman, and I'm a husband to another woman. I'm the father of two incredible young women. I value women. Just because you are related to women does not, and that they're amazing, doesn't mean that you necessarily value women. So congratulations, but others are perhaps more guilty than you fall into that trap. I was with them until the last paragraph.
By the way, you can get Steve on Twitter for those. If you are an Ohio State fan and you are bothered by those, you can get Steve on Twitter at JS Ramos.
You with me on this? Just because you're related to women doesn't mean you value women.
No. Look, it's like, I know 100. Yeah, I'm related to women too.
How many politicians? I mean, just you go on down the list.
Well, look, this is how coaches in college, and I'm not saying that all coaches are dirty and all, but look, they are salesmen. I mean, they have to sell their program constantly. It's what they do. If you watch the Netflix show Last Chance U, it's fantastic. If you haven't watched it, watch it. If you want to get an inside look into lower level college football, but dealing with big time recruits who maybe didn't cut it on the Division I level and had to go back to junior college to try and get a scholarship offer again, like, it takes you through just how it is that they constantly have to sell these kids or sell their families on trusting them. So I get the idea that college football, there's a dirtiness to it. We all sort of get that. I mean, Nick Saban's doing like the cha-cha-cha in somebody's kitchen in Alabama somewhere to try and land a recruit. I mean, it's nuts. Barry Switzer talked about how he would check the garbage cans to see what beer cans were in the trash, so that when he went in to talk to the kid's dad, he would go, God, I'd kill for a Schlitz right now. You drink Schlitz?
It's the same reason why all these years of Gruden rumors, I never thought he was going back to college. Why would you go through the hassle to convince 17, 18-year-olds? By the way, with this Meyer story, Stu Mandel's covered college football for many years. He's with The Athletic now. He read the statement as well and says, same question I had last week, I have even more so now. Why on earth was Smith still on your staff the past 3 years? What you just mentioned, Jonas, is that Urban Meyer says in the statement that I did go through proper channels and report the Zach Smith incident of 2015. Okay, and what happened?
Yeah, I mean, he really, look, and saying he misspoke at the media day and, you know, he didn't. It's like, okay, man. I look, my gut feeling is I think he probably loses his job. I don't know whether or not this did harm or did good for him, but I just think there are elements to this that we don't know about. But he is flat denying that he didn't go through the proper channels, that he didn't follow along
that
with
story,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
And the guy who started this, the writer who also has covered college athletics for years, Brett McMurphy, the man that ESPN was refusing to quote for a while because they had fired him. That's the subtext to this story this past week. He was on Rich Eisen today and talking about the story, and it gets to the conclusion. I thought this was a great part of the interview. Okay, so let's say you did properly report this incident of 2015, that you went through proper channels. He's still on your staff. Why? Is it because he's the grandson
yes.
of a famous former coach
exactly
who is just
why.
Legendary yep. in your life and your mind? Is that it? Or does he actually have dirt, as he claimed or threatened? Why is he still on your staff? Why is he teaching young men when you know what he is?
Yeah, it's and I think there's, you know, a loyalty issue there where Urban Meyer, I think his grandfather gave Urban Meyer his first coaching gig. So I think he feels a loyalty to Zach Smith, or he did at the time. And yeah, this is Jesus.
So if that's the case, that means you are more loyal to that than you are to the very
yeah.
kids that you are charged yeah. with being a coach.
Yeah, this is wow. Crazy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Thanks, Steve. Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. Speaking of Doug Gottlieb, Doug is with us here on FSR. You've seen him all week on First Things First, doing a fantastic job on Fox Sports 1 every single day, and he's with us here on FSR. Doug, thanks for coming on your show, and thanks for letting me host your show. I appreciate it.
No problem. The Ohio State stuff on a Friday is wild.
Yeah.
You know, first you had the statement from Urban, and then Zach Smith does an interview with a local Fox Sports Radio affiliate in Columbus, and he did an interview with ESPN, and he claims that, look, they had a toxic relationship, and he says he never domestically abused her, and this officially becomes a he said, she said. But the big news is Urban Meyer admits he lied to the media, but that Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, knew, and Zach Smith said he knew, pulled him off the road recruiting, investigated, and cleared him. So this is kind of an amazing turnaround. And look, I said this all week, that I'm super uncomfortable a little bit after the Sean Miller situation, but you know, so much of that was I was based upon Mark Schlabaugh, who was a really good reporter, but on something that a tape that I thought he had heard. You know, I don't believe like in fake news. I don't think Brett McMurphy reported fake news. He just reported one side of the story.
Yeah.
And now this is a he said, she said. And I'll tell you this. If Urban Meyer told his bosses, if he told Gene Smith and Gene Smith was completely aware of it, regardless of whether or not he was forthcoming with the media, I think he survives this thing. I really do. I think, you know, he loses some equity with the media, but I think he survives this thing. And, I mean, I, you know, if you can climb into Urban's mind and say, well, why would he be so defensive with the media, so abrupt? You know, look, they just fired a guy 15 minutes before he goes out there. And I'm sure he was ticked about it because this is something that he felt like had been handled and had been handled the right way. I don't know why he handled it as poorly as he did at the media. But, and that doesn't mean that I believe Zach Smith and his denials of domestic violence. I don't know what happened. You know, you don't know what happened. None of us know what happened. Only those two people really know, and the cops, of course, with their reporting. But as long as Urban Meyer didn't intervene and make them drop the charges, that there was nothing illicit done, you handled it the right way. Like I kind of think he's going to survive this thing.
Yeah, and you know what's difficult about this, especially this era, this time, and of social media and all of that. It's hard to decipher the outrage from fans and media on social media and whether or not the people involved in the investigation or the people that determine whether or not a guy will be hired or fired are thinking along the same ways. Like, it's kind of hard to decipher, okay, is this outrage appropriate? Because to your point, if he comes out and he says, listen, I follow the proper channels, and it does turn into a he said, she said, why would he lose his job? I mean, yeah, okay, so he didn't...
Because in all honesty... Because media outrage, overwhelms people in power.
It's crazy.
It happens all the time. Yeah. Now, maybe he deserved to lose his job. Then even the negative attention, I mean, like, look, once it comes out, it's really hard to have Zach Smith on the staff, even if he didn't. That's the problem with these sorts of allegations is as much as we've glossed over these things, and the Me Too movement has a great spirit at heart, but not everybody who gets caught up in it did it. You know, eliminating domestic violence from relationships is incredibly important, but that doesn't mean that every person who gets accused of domestic violence did it. But the point is, like, you're at Ohio State and you have an assistant coach accused of repeated domestic violence, even if he's cleared, there's such a negative connotation, there's such a scarlet letter with it. How's he going to go on the road and recruit for you? How's he going to go coach on the sidelines on a Saturday? Like, you can say he didn't do it. You can have proof he didn't do it, but it's really, really, really hard because we know that there's too much of this has gone on for too long. And, you know, again, I don't know what happened. He might be the worst dude on earth. He might be a horrible human being. And I'm not saying I believe his side of the story. What I am saying is that he wasn't charged with a crime. And to me, it's all about whether or not Urban Meyer went through the due process, because Urban Meyer honestly is what matters. And also how we handle these stories in the future matters so that we don't freak out. That was our thing with the Sean Miller thing.
Yeah.
It's a completely different deal, but Sean Miller, you know, there's a report that they offered, you know, $100,000 to DeAndre Ayton, and I'm as guilty as anybody. You go like, well, this is a legit media report. He's got to have done it. He's got to be gone. Sean Miller is still the coach in Arizona. Because obviously there is no tape that says, hey, $100,000 for DeAndre Ayton. And this thing playing out is fascinating to me.
Yeah, and also if Urban Meyer comes out and denies it, he's got to feel pretty confident that he's got proof that shows that he followed the proper protocol in reporting this in 2015. Well, why was he still on your staff for those 3 years? Well, if they didn't find anything, I don't know how you can blame Urban Meyer. Was he too loyal? Could he have been too gullible? Yeah, I get it, but I don't think it's that crazy of a thought to think Urban Meyer pulled Zach Smith aside and said, hey, between you and I, is this true? And Zach Smith said, no, none of it's true. She's crazy. And Urban Meyer trusted him. If it comes out 3 years later that he was lying, do you really blame Urban Meyer for being trusting, and should he lose his job because of that?
I don't even think it's about being trusting, though. I mean, like, honestly, Because you can't in this situation. I'll give you another example. So Dana Altman's the head coach of Oregon.
Yeah.
And if you go back, I think it's like five years ago, he had three players on his team accused of sexual assault, and no charges were ever brought. They did investigation. The whole story kind of came out. All three of those players, by the way, are now suing the university because they were banned from the university, even though they were not found. They were not even charged with a crime. So, regardless of which, you know, people are calling for Dana Altman's job. And what he told me and what he's told everybody is like, look, you have to remove yourself, let the process take place, do everything that the school's lawyers and your boss tells you to do. The time you get in trouble is the time in which you intervene, the time in which you pull, you know, the time in which you start taking sides. You have to be completely neutral. And if they say, like, look, there's nothing there, then that's what I take his response the other day to me. The problem is he really dug himself a hole. Yeah. And put up walls and essentially said nothing happened, and that he said he wasn't aware of it, which is the crazy part. I don't understand that lie, because that one's a hard one to get out of. But you can lie to the media. You just can't lie to your bosses is, I think, the lesson here. So I think it's a bad look for Urban, but as long as Gene Smith intervened as his superior and knew everything that was going on, I think he's going to skate on this one. I do.
When do you think this is resolved by?
Because
it's happening faster than I think anybody thought it would. Like, just
and the interesting thing, Friday is News Dump Friday, right?
Yes.
Classic politics. You put something out there on a Friday. But you know, like, look, I think in the next week or so, I really do. You know, especially if it had all been reported, and they have a six-person committee that can look at those reports and can see the police reports. And because, you know, I think Urban Meyer runs the risk of being suspended or maybe being fined and being apologetic? Yes, of course. But if you work for a state university, you're the highest paid state employee, you have to do things by the book. And if he did it by the book, he'll survive. If he didn't, he won't.
Doug Gottlieb, by the way, how is Manhattan on a Friday evening?
You know what? Kind of underrated. I was supposed to get out of town earlier today. Big thunderstorms. I think my flight was canceled. There's a bunch of backup because last night, there's actually a tornado warning last night in Manhattan. So, you know, it was, whether it's muggy, people heading out to the Hamptons, people heading, you know, away from the city, it's kind of quiet. And we had a big thunderstorm or two that went through. Humidity's cut, so I got a nice little night in the city. I appreciate you filling in. You do a great job. And, it's actually pretty cool.
Nice. Well, thank you for letting me fill in. John Ramos is here.
I approve, Jonas. My name is Doug Gottlieb, but I approve of this message.
Well, I mean, yeah, we appreciate the hospitality. I wish John was this nice to me when I got here, but he's not. Unfortunately, that's John Ramos, and that's the way he works.
Just bad guy, bad guy, really bitter. I understand.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll have fun in Manhattan. Appreciate it, and we'll talk
later.
Soon.
Yeah.
All right, Doug Gottlieb on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Jonas Knox filling in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. That's like Inception. That's crazy.